If you study the lives of a lot of the men and women in the Bible, you will find that God had specific ways that He worked in their lives, and you will discover that He works in our lives at our day and time in the very same ways. So if you take a look at Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Jeremiah, Peter, Paul, and even our Lord Jesus Christ, you see how He has worked in their lives to bring them to the place that He wanted them to be. There's one that stands out above all the rest that it seems like everybody connects with, and that is a man named Joseph. And so today I'm going to be preaching kind of a biographical message on the life of Joseph. I call the message, "Here Comes This Dreamer." His story is told in Genesis chapters 37 through 50. And so you kind of get a hint that if anybody has that many chapters in the Bible, it's pretty important what's happening in his life. And so here is this man, Joseph. He's a man of great dreams. He goes through all of the experiences of life, facing the same things that we face. And the way that he does it and the way God worked in his life, I think that it will be an encouragement to all of us today. I know that when I read Joseph's life, I see myself there, and I'm sure that you will as well. And so here are some of the principles that emerge when you look at the life of Joseph and you look at the life of these other heroes of the faith. It's the way that God deals with our lives. The first thing that you'll notice is that God works through adversity. Adversity meaning hardship and challenges. None of these men or women in the Bible had an easy road. They all had challenges. They all had specific difficulties. They all faced hardships and heartache and pain. And so it's like God has this masterpiece inside a block of granite, and He's chiseling off all the stuff on the outside to get to that masterpiece. And Ephesians tells us that we are a masterpiece of God. And so the way He's chipping away at us is often through the challenges and the adversity in our lives. Second thing that you notice in their life is that God will fight your battles for you if you'll let Him. God will fight that battle for you if you let Him. You can do more damage in 5 minutes than it will take a lifetime to correct when you fight your own battle. But God is able and He is capable, and He will fight your battles for you as you go through your life. A third thing that you see in these people's lives is they were committed to obey God at all costs and leave the circumstances up to God. Let the consequences fall where they may. Their commitment was to live in obedience to God. And then the fourth thing, God always had the big picture in view. God was working from the big picture, not from the immediate. So what happens to us often is we get caught up in the immediate moment, and we get tripped up and we get all concerned with that when God is looking at that thing from the whole perspective. He sees the parade from beginning to end, not just the little part where we're sitting. And so that is the way He worked in the lives of all of these men. And especially we see all these principles come to light in the life of Joseph. And so let's just kind of work through his life. It's very appropriate that we preach this today when we've had these high school graduates and they're telling us their dreams and their goals for life. Because the first thing that you note about Joseph is that he was a young man of special dreams. Now, the thing about Joseph, you can't get past this, is that he came from a dysfunctional family. Let me describe to you his family. Abraham was a man that God chose of all the people on the earth and said, "It's through you that I'm going to bless everybody." And sure enough, it's through his family line that Jesus Christ eventually was born. Abraham had a son whose name was Isaac. And then Isaac had a son whose name was Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And so there's the origin of the Israel people of today, the Jewish people. And so this guy Israel, this guy Jacob, had four wives, two sisters, and the servant girls of each of his wives. So he had sisters and their maidservants, four of them. So this guy wasn't very smart. And he had 12 sons with these four different women, one daughter. So you can imagine that there was some issues in the family. And there was all kind of sibling rivalry, all kind of positioning. And it intensified when it came to this young man, Joseph. So even though he came from a family like that, God gave him some very special dreams. In fact, when he shared his dreams, his brothers became upset with him because his dream was that one day all you guys are going to bow down to me. And not only are you going to bow down to me, but mom and dad are going to bow down to me. And so I'm sure that as he shared his special dreams, he did so with a little bit of arrogance. He did so with a little bit of superiority and just an air about him that really made these brothers hate him even more. And so this dysfunctional family. Now, actually, the term dysfunctional family is a term that you never hear anymore. Because in our culture today, there's no such thing as a dysfunctional family. Whatever family situation you're in has become normalized. Whether it's mom and mom, dad, mom, on it goes. It's all been normalized. But it doesn't matter what your family background from which you come, God still gives people very special dreams. Now, here's something that is true in Joseph's life. Since he's 17 years old at the time that he got these dreams, his positioning with his father had gotten him into a position that his character couldn't handle. And that's where a lot of his problems came in. And as you go through life, you're going to find that there's a lot of people that get promoted because of their connections, because of their resources, because of who they know. And they get to a position where their character cannot sustain them. And those are the kind of people that have really bad train wrecks in their life. Because Joseph had not yet had a chance to have his character really develop. And so I would just tell you, in light of this, let me simply say that it is very incumbent upon us, you young people and all of us, with the family situation we see in America today, we have got to learn what a biblical family looks like. And we have got to have a biblically based, role-centered families. Now, I'll tell you something. When you have a family like that, your joy is increased. Your lives are blessed. You're strengthened in the inner man. You have a support team. And it makes a huge difference. And I will tell you, in this age where all the definitions are gone, people don't even know what that's like to have a family like that. But you can have one. And we need to show our world what a real family looks like as follower of Jesus Christ. And so, no matter what your background is, God can lay upon you a sense of destiny. He can give you some special dreams. Now, Joseph was also distinctively favored. His dad doted on him, which increased the jealousy of his brothers. Now, in the context of family, I will tell you that I get prayer requests often, and most of those requests are people saying, "Pray for my family." A lot of times it's wives saying, "Will you pray for my husband?" And I'm like, duh, yeah, okay. But there's issues. There's sibling issues. There's one person feels like they're not favored over another, a sibling. And I don't know if it's intentional. I don't know if it's just what they perceive. But I'm just telling you that in the context of a family, that is a very bad mistake to make. Every child that's in your family is a gift of God. They all should be equally special to you. And there shouldn't be any favors. But it seemed to be favorites here in his family, and that caused even more issues to come. So, what I want you to recognize is that as a young man, age 17, all of his flaws, God gave Joseph some very special dreams. So, let me ask you a couple of questions. Has God given you, like, a sense of destiny, a special dream, that you feel like God has a really great and incredible purpose for your life? Now, we heard some of the dreams for these young people. They're going to go this and do that and go this and do that. And that is awesome. That may be your dream. But is it even beyond that? Has God given you that sense of destiny, a very special dream? Let me ask you this. Has God given you one in the past, but life has kind of pushed that aside? I want you to notice the first thing about Joseph was he was a young man that God gave some very special dreams. You say, well, how does God speak to give me a special dream? Well, let me read Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. So God used to speak in a lot of ways. Today He's speaking primarily through His Son, Jesus Christ. That means He's speaking to us through the Bible. He'll speak to us through a biblical message like you're hearing today. And His Holy Spirit takes that and applies that into our lives. And so God speaks a word into our life. And so if you do not have a sense of destiny, a sense of a special dream that God has given to you, begin to listen and ask God to give you that special dream. God, what do You want in my life? What do You want beyond just a normalcy? What is my destiny that You have for me in this life and in this world? God will give that to you. He's still speaking today. The second thing about Joseph, he became a man of shattered dreams. Life got really bad for Joseph. Life has a way of taking the special dreams that God gives us and just kind of wadding them up and throwing it in the trash can. And that's what's happened to some of you. Your special dream that you had, life has gotten tough, it's gotten difficult, but you remember, God works through what? Starts with an A. You forgot already? Let me start up. We're going to preach today on Genesis. God works through adversity, and that's what He's doing in Joseph's life, and that's what He's doing in your life and mine. He's working through adversity, and the adversity is either going to make you or break you, and it's either going to destroy you and take away your dreams, or it's going to make you strong so you can attain that dream. So, the thing about Joseph was that in all of the adversity, he stayed faithful to God. Now, faithfulness begins when we establish a relationship with Jesus Christ. We trust Him as our Lord and Savior. He comes into our life. He forgives us, gives us eternal life, dwells within us. And we are connected to the love of God. And Romans tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. And so we are connected with that love. That love keeps us strong, keeps us going, no matter what comes that's difficult in our life. And so here's what happened to Joseph. First of all, he remained faithful through the whole thing. He was faithful when he got forfeited. You probably know his story. He was sent to check on his brothers. They saw him coming at a distance. They said, here comes this dreamer. Let's kill him and see what becomes of his dreams now. The oldest brother named Reuben said, don't kill him. Throw him in this pit. He intended to come back and rescue him later, but a caravan was passing by, so they took Joseph and sold him for 20 shekels of silver. They forfeited him. They betrayed him. And so then they took his robe of many colors that his dad had given him as the favorite, dipped it in animal's blood, showed it to their father, and said, an animal must have killed Joseph. It broke the old dad's heart, and that stayed with those brothers the rest of their life. It was a terrible thing that they did. And so Joseph is then taken down to Egypt, and there this caravan, these Ishmaelites, sell him to a man named Potiphar. And so now he is a slave to a man who is in charge of Pharaoh, who is the king's, what he was called in Egypt, of Pharaoh's security team. And so he's a slave. So you think, well, what about your dreams? You've been forfeited. What about the dreams? Joseph stayed faithful. And God blessed Potiphar. God blessed Joseph. And soon this guy Potiphar made Joseph in charge of his whole household. So he's doing well as a slave until Potiphar's wife started looking at him. And he looked good to her. Good enough that she wanted to do some stuff with him. And he declined. Then she trapped him. And I just want to tell you young people, you can get trapped in a relationship that can ruin your life. Well, he ran out. She grabbed his coat. He ran out of the coat. You did that when you was a kid, didn't you? Somebody grabbed by the coat, you run out of it. And when Potiphar came home, she says, oh, he abused me. He tried to do this to me. And it infuriated Potiphar, so he had Joseph thrown into prison with no way out. So it's going from bad to worse. Joseph, what about your dreams, Joseph? They've become shattered. It's not happening for you. So I can see Joseph looking at God and saying, God, have you noticed that I'm getting betrayed on every hand? I'm now in prison. What are you going to do with these dreams that you gave me? But he stays faithful. But then it gets even a little bit worse. He's faithful when he's forfeited, but he's faithful when he's forgotten. A couple of guys got in trouble with Pharaoh, his baker and his cupbearer, the guy who tasted the wine. They were thrown into the same prison as Joseph, and they had dreams. And Joseph interpreted them, and he told the cupbearer, you're going to get reinstated. He told the baker, you're going to get hung. And that's exactly what happened. And then he said to the cupbearer, when you get reinstated, will you remember me? But the Bible says, but the cupbearer forgot Joseph. He forgot him. Now, it's bad to be betrayed. Don't you agree? But I think it's even worse to be forgotten. Because if you're forgotten, it doesn't mean you mean enough for somebody to even betray you. And so now Joseph is stuck in this jail, in prison. He's been forsaken. He's been betrayed. He has been forgotten. And he's just stuck. But he's staying faithful. Now, a couple of points. Remember that God is working from the big picture. Remember that? So Joseph has no idea what's going on, but God does. You know what? Your life may be crazy right now, but God is working from the big picture. He's working through this adversity to get Joseph ready to fulfill his life destiny. It's hard. It's not easy. It's difficult. But he's staying faithful. He's obeying God, trusting Him. And God is fighting His battles for him. And He's bringing about the dreams. Everybody with me so far? Now, I don't know if you've ever been betrayed. You probably have, haven't you? Haven't you? Somebody betrayed you? That's a very painful thing. I would tell you in ministry, that's one of the worst things I've dealt with. You invest your life into somebody, then they turn on you. And that's happened many more times than I would like to remember. But it's always so very painful. Somebody turns back evil for good. That's a betrayal. That's very difficult. It's hard. It's painful. It's part of life. Everybody faces that. Everybody faces that challenge when somebody tells you one thing, they do another. Somebody lies about you, they get the promotion and you don't. And it's just like it's not going to happen for you. Life's passing you by and it's just not working. Stuff gets difficult at home. Stuff gets difficult at work. I would simply tell you that life has a way of taking our dreams and shattering them. But we've got to stay faithful to Jesus Christ. Because God is not just looking at the immediate moment. He's working with the big picture in view. And so he's a man of special dreams. He is a man of shattered dreams. And I'm just going to tell you young people heading off to school, you're going to get an opportunity to do a lot of stuff at school. A lot of good stuff. A lot of bad stuff. And some of that stuff will ruin you. And some of that stuff will make you. Stay faithful through all the challenges. Be different. Stay sober. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? Stay pure. I tell you, that's who God's going to put His hand on. And so you have all these challenges that are meant to destroy the dreams. So the story doesn't stop with Joseph. It goes on. So he's a man of special dreams, sense of destiny, shattered dreams. But then there's that third chapter of his life. He's a man of sweet dreams. And so the day begins for him like any other day. He gets up as a prisoner. He's kind of the head guy in the prison there. And he probably is praying to God that morning and say, God, I love you, bless you. The Lord is one. I love you and I commit my life to you and I want to serve you here and do the best I can. God, remember my dreams. And then maybe his assignment that day was to clean out the commodes, if they had commodes. He has no idea what God is doing over in the palace. So Pharaoh's had this strange dream and nobody can interpret it. And it's at that point that that cupbearer suddenly remembers Joseph. Isn't it amazing? God's timing is always perfect. Had he remembered Joseph before, it wouldn't have done him any good. But now it's going to do him some really good. He said, there's a young Hebrew guy in prison. We had a dream and he interpreted. I think he can do this. And so Pharaoh says, go get him. And so there he is, having no idea what's about to happen. They come and they say, clean yourself up. We're taking you somewhere. And they take him into the very palace in front of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he says to him, I've had a dream. I've heard you can interpret dreams. Can you do it? Now, this time, Joseph isn't arrogant. He's not cocky like he had been with his brothers back before, because through all that adversity, God has been shaping his character. Remember, God uses adversity in our lives. Now he stands and he says, you know, I don't know, but God can do this. And so Pharaoh explains his dream. Joseph interprets it. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. And then he goes a step further. Once he had the ear of Pharaoh, he said, what you ought to do is select a man to kind of run the program for you during these 7 years of plenty, so you'll have enough during the 7 years of drought. And Pharaoh says, I don't think I got anybody around here that's smarter than you are, so you're going to be that guy. And so he becomes now the second most powerful man in Egypt in a matter of just a few moments. Do you realize how life can change with one email, one text, one phone call, just like that? And so now this sweet dreams begin to come true. They go through the 7 years of plenty, the 7 years of drought come, and Joseph's brothers come down to Egypt to beg him for food. They don't know it's Joseph. They think Joseph is long gone. They don't recognize him. His dream comes true. They bow down to him and they plead for food. Well, he reveals himself to them. They can't believe it. They end up going back and getting the old dad, bringing him down. He spends the last 17 years of his life with Joseph in Egypt. And Joseph is given a wife, has two sons. He names one of them Manasseh, which means I've forgotten my trouble. The second son he names Ephraim, which means fruitful in a land of affliction. And so his dreams, his sense of destiny came true. It wasn't easy. It was difficult. It was hard. God used adversity to prepare him for it. God fought his battles for him. Joseph trusted God, left the consequences up to him. And God was working with the big picture in view. Isn't that absolutely astounding? If God worked that way in his life, you know what? He works that way in our lives as well. So I'm just going to tell you, if you'll remain faithful to Jesus Christ, he'll give you some special dreams. But you will face adversity. That's how God's going to mold you. If you will obey God and trust him with the consequences, you're going to work out fine. God will fight your battles for you if you'll let him. And always remember that God is working with the big picture in view. You allow God to do these things in your life, and you'll end up being a champion for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, later, the old daddy died. The brother said, okay, now that dad's dead, Joseph's going to get us for what we did to him. So they hatched up a little scheme. They went to Joseph and said, hey, brother, before dad died, he kind of asked us to ask you if you'd go easy on us for what we did to you, selling you like we did. And that's when we get to this text. It's Genesis 50, 19 and 20. Joseph said to them, "Do not fear, for am I in the place of God? God's going to fight my battles for me, He knows. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." Now, Joseph didn't say that until he'd gotten through the whole thing. I often wonder what would have happened if he had a chance to get those brothers when he was in prison. I don't know. But here's the deal. When you're walking in purity with Jesus Christ, all the evil that others intend for you, God turns it into good. And you can count on it. You can bank on it. Because God is faithful. I guess it's a true story. I guess whatever you read is true, right? It didn't come from the internet. I know everything on the internet is true. I want to finish with, back in the day when people actually had stationary telephones. You all know what those are? Have you ever seen one? Have y'all seen a phone? Anyway, that was in the days, and this woman had a canary in her cage, and canary just chirped and sang all the time. And so one day she was cleaning out his cage with vacuum cleaner, and the phone rang. So she stopped, picked up the phone, "Hello," and, "Yeah, good to talk to you." Yeah. Hung up. Finished cleaning it up. Went about her way. Later in the day, she noticed, well, the bird's not singing. So she went in there, and sure enough, the cage was empty. And she thought, he must have escaped. So she started looking all the house, couldn't find him. And then a thought hit her, and she thought, oh, no, surely not. So she went to the vacuum cleaner, pulled out the dirt bag. Sure enough, she'd sucked him right into the dirt bag. He was alive, but boy, he was nasty. So she pulled him out, she cleaned him off, got him looking really nice, and set him back on his perch, shut him up. Perfectly healthy, but she said that he never chirped or sang again. God gives you a special dream. I want to tell you something. Life's going to suck you in the dirt bag. It's just going to happen. And if you're in a dirt bag, look around. There's going to be a lot of people in a dirt bag with you. But you can't let it steal your song. Because the day will come when that email will come, that phone call will come, that text will come. Your life's going to change on a dime. And you're going to see how when others meant something really evil for you, God meant it for good. The bottom line for us all. Graduates, for all of us, is to stay faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He will fight your battles for you. Make it your case to obey Him and trust Him with the consequences. Recognize He's working in your life through the adversity, and He's got the big picture in view. Now, all of this boils down to this. We're about to have our last worship song of the day. It's an invitation song. The primary issue in the whole thing is for you to establish that relationship with Jesus Christ. Acknowledge Him as your personal Lord and Savior. Welcome Him into your life. If you've never done that today, we will help you do that this very day, this very moment. While we're singing, if you make your way down to one of our staff members and tell them, "I just need to give my life to Jesus Christ," the love of God will step into your life and you will never be the same. And with that will come that sense of destiny. If you've never done that, you need to do that today. Do it during this invitation moment. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming. God's doing great things in our church. We'd love for you to join with us as He continues to do that. If you believe that this is where God would have you plant your life, please come share with one of these staff who are here, and we'll make that happen for you. And we would be delighted to welcome you into our church family. But listen to me. Some of you in the dirt bag right now. Life has sucked you in there. And maybe you just need to tell God, Lord, God, I'm in the dirt bag. I intend to stay faithful till you get me out. And you know, He'll do it. He'll do it. Tell Him you'll be faithful. Challenge you graduates today. Tell God, as I step into this next chapter, I intend to be faithful. Faithful to you all the way through. And your name will be written, along with Joseph's, as a hero of faith. Let's stand together as we worship. To give your life to Jesus Christ, I invite you to come right now. To join our church, please come right now. If you just need somebody to pray with you today, to help you get through the dirt bag moment, you please come. We'll pray with you. God bless you. Let's worship. The invitation is right here for you. Won't you come as we sing?